Well, welcome one and all to a high Sabbath day as we're celebrating foot washing and communion on this memorial of God's creationary power, as well as the promise of Him recreating your heart into His image. Sabbath greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio, and we appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us on this first Sabbath of the new year, 2017. And praise God for all of His many and wonderful blessings throughout this past year, as well as the promise for His continued blessings and manifesting of His love for each one of us in this new year. And may we indeed give Him our whole hearts and follow Him with a greater devotion this new year than last, is my prayer. Our opening song for this High Sabbath is titled, We Gather Together. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining. Ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, were at our side, all glory be Thine. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender wilt be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. In Jesus Christ, we are free indeed. May we never go outside of the Lord and thus be brought into bondage. O Lord, make us free. It's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Jasmine will offer that for us.
Can you please bow our heads to our hearts so we can kneel in prayer? O Lord, may I pray that can you please should protect all of our families. Thank you for letting us all be in the chat room here today. And I pray that can you please just be with us in all things, Lord God, and protect us. And I pray that can you please help us to be more Christ-like. And I want to thank everybody for my family for being with me and supporting me in everything that I do. And I pray that can you please just let us all make it to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you, dear sister. And I agree. Lord, may we all make it to heaven. So welcome, dear ones, to our High Sabbath Day. And we're going to be going through foot washing and communion as our services. And foot washing occurs first. And so let's go through the reason why foot washing comes first and the whole purpose of this service and how it is to take place in each one of our hearts before we enter into that service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1381.htm. Regarding the service of foot washing, we're told in John 13, verses 1 through 11. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Now, why did Jesus perform this service for his disciples? What was the reason? You look at quote number 2. In those days, the roads that they traveled on were very dusty. So if you had to leave home and go somewhere, you would be forced to walk directly on the dirt, and thus your feet would get dusty and dirty, while most of the rest of your body would remain relatively clean. So as this was true, it became customary that after being outside, and especially when coming in for a meal, your feet would need to be first washed in order to remove the dirt and thus help keep the level of dust down in the home. This cleansing of the feet was usually done by hired servants or slaves, who would then take a wash basin and a towel and wash and dry each of the feet of their masters. But if there was no servants available, then one of the younger members of the family would be forced to perform this humiliating service for all of their family members in order to show proper respect for their elders and other important guests that might be there. So I believe that you can see that this service of washing the feet was considered to be the work for servants and slaves. And if there were no servants available, then very few adults would voluntarily perform this service, because to do so, they would be seen as lowering and humiliating themselves down to the level of a servant or a slave. And so it was usually forced upon one of the children of the family to do for the adults and other important guests that were there. So then when Christ and all the disciples came into the upper room with dirty feet from having traveled some distance that day, they all noticed the pitcher of water. They saw the wash basin and the towel placed in the room with which to wash the dirty feet. But they also noticed that there were no servants in the room. So then this meant that one of the disciples would need to perform this humiliating task for all the others. Now, I'm sure that each of the disciples were more than willing to wash the feet of their Lord, but in volunteering to wash the feet of their Lord, then they also knew that they would also be required to humbly wash the rest of the feet of the disciples as their servant. And this would be humiliating. To do so would be recognizing their fellow disciples as being greater than they would be. That was humiliating. So then what did each of the disciples do? As Christ was their master, he naturally went and sat down at the table for supper, and then he waited for one of his disciples to come and wash his feet. But then Christ watched as each and every one of his disciples also went and sat down at the table along with him. This action showed that each disciple proudly believed themselves to be on the same level of importance with their Lord. And it also revealed that each proudly believed they were of more importance than each other, since they expected the other to serve them. Now, if you understand this type of spirit of self-exaltation, then you can also imagine each of the disciples sitting down together at the table, but not saying a single word to each other, but each was definitely intensely looking at one another and casting reflection at them for not being the one to come and wash the master's feet, and then in turn wash the rest of the disciples' feet. It was sort of a silent battle taking place, with each urging the other to be the one. And then on top of this, can you imagine the Lord watching what was taking place? Now, after supper was over, and still not one of the disciples had humbled themselves to wash one another's feet, but they continued this silent battle among themselves, Christ then rose up from the table. This action caused the disciples to stop casting angry looks at one another and instead to focus curiously on what their Lord was doing. And I think you can imagine the horror as they watched Jesus walk over to where the basin was, pour water into it, gird himself with the towel, and then come back to the table where each one was sitting, and began to wash their feet as their servant. It was at this point that pride and self-exaltation was crucified in each one of their hearts. And then each disciple was bitterly reproaching himself, not the others, but himself for not being the first to get up and perform this service for his Lord and Master, without giving a thought that it also meant becoming a servant to his fellow brethren. If you look at quote number 3, when Jesus came to Peter, what did Peter tell him? "No, Lord. Don't wash me as my servant, because I'm your servant." And then what did Jesus say back? Peter, you must be washed by me, or else you cannot be my disciple. Peter then responded, then wash me completely, because I truly desire to be your follower. And then Christ said that they that are already bodily washed are fully clean, but at times just their feet become dirty and need to be daily cleansed. Now, to put this another way, those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior are indeed washed in His blood and are fully cleansed from all their sins. But there still needs to be the daily cleansing from the contamination of selfishness and pride, so that self may become fully crucified and pride replaced with humility, so that they may completely represent Christ in character on a daily basis. Now, you will notice in the events that took place that day that Christ also washed the feet of Judas. And this was after Jesus knew that Judas had already agreed to betray him to the Pharisees, and thus his heart was not cleansed. Now, how humiliating would it be to wash the feet of someone you know is your betrayer? It would be tremendously more humiliating than it would normally be to perform this service. But yet that's exactly what Jesus did. And what was the reason why? In quote number 4, because Jesus truly loved Judas, even after Judas had agreed to betray him. And since Christ loved him, then he was willing to humiliate himself to the greatest extent in order to do all that he possibly could to bring Judas to repentance, to prevent him from taking that last step of no return. That's how much Christ loved him. Now, with such an example of godly love being expressed before each of the disciples, what then did Christ say to them all? Quote number 5, from John 13, 12 to 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It doesn't say happy are ye for knowing this. But happy will you be if you do it. So then, with such an example as this being revealed to each one of us, then who should we be willing to show our love to? We should be willing to show our love to every one of our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter what they have done to us, even to those whom we know are betraying us. This is because by our love being expressed to them, even to the extent of us being willing to become their servant and washing their feet, is the very example our Lord gave us in trying to bring them to repentance, in trying to prevent them from taking that last step of no return, and in seeking to bind them closer in love and unity. And if our humiliation is to be done for those who have harmed us in the greatest degree, such as betrayal, then our humiliation is most definitely to be done for those who have wronged us in the least degree, something so much less than betrayal. So, dear ones, I believe that you can see that the service of foot washing symbolizes the crucifixion of self. And it is for the purpose of trying to clear up and mend any of the differences which may have occurred between brothers and sisters of the same faith, of the same family, who are fellowshipping together in the same home church. Quote number 6. This shows that the foot washing service is not so that you can wash the feet of someone that you have nothing against, as that would not be very humiliating to do, because it involves little or no self-crucifixion on your part. But this foot washing service is especially for the purpose of washing the feet of someone you know has hurt you in some way, even if this hurt is as great as betraying you, or is as small as a single wrong word. In washing their feet, you are showing Christ-like love for them, and hopefully this will be enough to bring them to repentance and clear up this whole matter before the rest of the services of communion occur. That's why foot washing is held first, so that everything is cleared, is put away, to be able to receive the blessings of communion. So since this foot washing ceremony deals with humiliation, and also the subject of hurt and repentance, then this is why this service is performed first. Now, since foot washing deals with the crucifixion of self and of showing humility and love for one another, then anyone, whether they have been baptized or not, whether they have accepted Christ or not, anyone is free to participate in this service, even young children. So that is the meaning of the foot washing, and that is why it takes place before the partaking of the bread and the juice. So let us go ahead and break for about 15 minutes to perform this service for one another. And if you need more time than that, just let me know, but I'll go ahead and put on some music during this time. So we'll see you back in about 15 minutes.
We
Does any other participants need to have a few extra minutes, or is everyone ready for our next service? Just let me know. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, in our communion service, partaking of the bread and the juice, what do these symbolize? What does this service mean? Why are we to partake of it? And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1382.htm. Now, quote number one from Matthew 26, verse 17 and also 26 to 30. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And as they were finishing eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then in Luke 22, verses 17 to 20. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shared for you. So what does the bread symbolize? If you look at quote number two, the bread symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the actual literal body of Christ, but it's just a symbol. So by eating this communion bread that symbolizes the body of Christ, it also further symbolizes that Christ, who is the Word and truth of God, the bread of life, is working in you and thus nourishing your spiritual life. So just as bread nourishes your physical body, so Jesus, the bread of life, would nourish your spiritual body. We're told in Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And Jeremiah 15, 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So again, we must eat, partake of the body, the truth of Christ. And it will then be in us to nourish our spiritual life and to give glory to God. So that's what the bread symbolizes. Now, what does the unfermented grape juice or the fruit of the vine symbolize? If you look at quote number 3, the grape juice would symbolize the shed blood of Christ. And again, it's not that this grape juice is the actual literal blood of Christ, but it's just a symbol. So by drinking this grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ, it further symbolizes that you have been washed clean from all of your sins, both outwardly and inwardly. We're told in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you look at quote number 4, apart from the symbology that we've seen here, why should we partake of the Lord's Supper? And then how often should we partake of it? We're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 6. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So this shows us that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the great sacrifice which Christ willingly made for you and me out of love. So this service should make us happy and joyous because we are recognizing that our Lord is coming again. We're showing our appreciation to him for his great sacrifice, for all that he has done for us. And especially that he's soon coming back to take us home, to be with him in heaven and then on the new earth, never to part again. And Jesus promises that he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until he is once again in company with all of his redeemed and ransomed followers. Now, these verses also reveal to us that we should partake of the Lord's Supper often, and thus not just once a year. So we have, in this home church, have been celebrating the communion, the foot washing, the Lord's Supper about 4 times a year, or once every quarter. And we could actually do it more if the home church here decides to do so. But here we perform this service about 4 times a year. Now the next question is, who can partake of the Lord's Supper? If you look at quote number 5, in examining this for clues and answers, you would see that it was only the disciples of Christ whom he allowed to partake of the bread and juice that symbolized his body and blood. And when you examine the lives of the disciples, each of these had previously been baptized and had already accepted Christ as their Lord, God, and Savior. So this reveals to us that not just anyone is free to partake of the bread and the juice in communion, but only those who have been baptized because they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and God. So as this is true, then for those who are not yet baptized into Jesus Christ, or who have not yet fully accepted him as your God and Savior, then I request that you please do not eat of this communion bread or drink of this juice until you have done both of these necessary and important things connected with your salvation. And should you desire to do both of these things, to embrace Christ as your Savior and to be baptized into him, then please feel free to contact me and I'll be more than happy to help you get ready and have these things performed so that next time we have communion, you can participate with us. Now, the next question that we'll look into is if there is any danger for people to partake of this bread and juice that has been used to symbolize the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Quote number 6. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 34. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So these verses show us that even though this bread and juice is a symbol of the body and blood of Christ, yet because it has been prayed over and used in this sacred service, then for anyone to eat and drink these items unworthily would be eating and drinking damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body and blood in symbol through these things. So then we must first be worthy to partake in this service, because if we partake of it unworthily, then we're in danger of dying, getting sick. So then how can any of us become worthy? We're told in 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And then in Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we see that not a single one of us are worthy in and of ourselves, and the only way we can become worthy is if we choose to crucify self and then allow God and Christ Jesus to reign supreme in us. Because they are worthy, and so they, dwelling in our hearts, would make us worthy along with them. And that is the reason why the foot washing service is performed first, so that all self can be fully crucified, and then Jesus Christ dwell in our hearts and thus make us worthy to partake of communion. Now, if you look at quote number 8, we're going to skip quote number 7 here. If you look at quote number 8, what would make someone unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper at any particular time? And one of the reasons would be not yet being baptized into Christ. Another reason would be not yet accepting Christ as your Lord God and Savior. But if you've done both of these things, then what could also make you unworthy? One reason is if we have not yet confessed all known sin before the service starts, then we would be unworthy. Or if we have not yet willingly crucified all self and selfishness, we would be unworthy. Or if we had the chance, but we refused to wash the feet of the very person who has hurt us in some small or large way. Or if we are hungry and desire to eat more than just a little bit of juice or the single piece of bread, we want to eat more than that, then that would make us unworthy because we're not discerning the Lord's body and his blood. Another thing that would make us unworthy is if we are in the wrong frame of mind or in the wrong type of spirit, so that we don't appreciate what the sacred service represents. That would make us unworthy. Any of these things would prevent us from being fully hid in Christ and therefore become unworthy of partaking of the Lord's Supper. So this shows us that each one must examine themselves in order to determine and judge whether or not they are indeed hid in Christ Jesus and thus worthy in him and ready to partake of this sacred service, so that they can be blessed with his presence and the joy of heaven and not condemned and cursed to suffer sickness and possible death. So we're not to examine one another to see if they're worthy. We're to examine ourselves to see if we're worthy, if we're in the right frame of mind, if we really appreciate the great sacrifice that Christ has done in order to provide us salvation. So, dear ones, if you have been baptized and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord God and Savior, if you know that you have confessed all known sins, if you know that you have done everything you can to settle any differences between those with whom you fellowship with, either before or during the foot washing service, and if you have fully crucified self and are hid in Jesus Christ at this time, then you can know that you are worthy in Christ by faith and can participate in this sacred communion service to receive God's blessings and to indeed be happy. So for those that have done these things and know that they are ready, let us please enter into communion service now. For those that are officiating, could you please get the bread ready and go ahead and pass it out? And I'll give you a few moments to do that. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Savior, we thank you for your great sacrifice in our behalf, for willingly giving your body to be crucified and to die on the cross so that we might live. Thank you, Savior, for resting in the tomb until the resurrection took place, and indeed being ascended up on high as our great physician in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary right now, ministering for each one of us, leading and guiding us to salvation. We praise thy name and thank you for making all of this possible. And we also praise your name that you're coming soon to take us home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, Father and Savior and Spirit. Thank you for being our loving, compassionate Godhead. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 6. And when Christ had given thanks, he took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And now please go ahead and eat the bread. Amen. Now for those officiating and with the grape juice, please go ahead and pass that out, but please don't drink it yet. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we again praise thy name for making this plan of our salvation possible. Dear Savior, we thank you and praise your name for spilling your blood that we might be able to be cleansed, to be washed, and to be purified by it. Thank you again for your promise to not drink of the fruit of the vine until you are with your beloved people. And thank you for coming soon to take us home. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again from 1 Corinthians 11. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And now please drink the juice. And amen. Praise God, dear ones, for making possible our salvation and for Jesus coming soon to take us home and off of this wicked world, away from sin, away from temptation, away from sickness and death and sorrow, to enjoy life, peace, happiness, contentment, with no temptation, but instead everything conducive to wondrous joy. Praise God, our Savior's coming soon. And that's why this service is to be a happy occasion. Sin and selfishness has been put away with the foot washing service. Now we enter into fellowship with our Godhead and to the prospect of being with them never more to part, and all because of their love for us and our Savior's great sacrifice. Praise their holy names, and what a glorious day it will be when our Lord Christ Jesus we shall see coming in the clouds of heaven. Can't wait, dear ones, and we're a year closer to this glorious event occurring. Now, we're told in Matthew 26, verse 30, that after they had this communion service, then they sang an hymn before they left for the Mount of Olives. And so in closing of this service, before we part, the hymn we're going to be singing is Jesus is Coming Again. And for those who know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to take a verse of it. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Echo at hilltops, proclaim itchy plains, Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Heaving so birth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds, the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Nations are angry, by this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increasing, men run to and fro, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
Amen. And thank you so much. And it's good to hear your voices, dear Sister Brenda and my dear brother Larry. Good to hear your voices again. And praise God for joining in this wonderful song and praising Him for His sacrifice and His soon return.
I like to sing a song, the song that I sung last night, called Not I But Christ. Not I But Christ, be honored, love exalted. Not I But Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I But Christ, in every look and action. Not I But Christ, in every thought and word. Not I but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I but Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear. Christ only, Christ, no idle words are falling. Christ only, Christ, no needless bustling sound. Christ only, Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ only, Christ, no trace of I be found. Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and help to be. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word.
Amen, and a thank you, dear brother. And there's been a request for the hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. Wonderful hymn. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, cobbled over us with the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a star. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout for victory.
Victory. Amen.
Hooray. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toys of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout for victory.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the street of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Praise God indeed, dear ones. And I hope that this hymn is a great fulfilled promise that each and every one of us listening will get to heaven all because of Jesus Christ and our sacrificing of all to be with Him forevermore. Amen indeed. And so wonderful to hear your voice, dear Sister Francine, in singing. Praise God.
O Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through all the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forests glad I wander, and heard the birds sing sweetly in the tree, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son appearing, send him to die as care can take it in, then on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what a joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. These hymns are beautiful, dear ones, and thank you so much for sharing. Are there other hymns, other songs, other testimonies, statements, anything else that you'd like to share and to edify us with? Please feel free.
I'd like to sing another song. It's We'll Build on the Rock. We'll build on the rock, the living rock, on Jesus, the rock of ages. So shall we abide the fearful shark when loud the tempest rages. We'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the mighty rock. Some build on the sinking sands of light, on visions of earthly treasure. Some build on the waves of sin and strife, of fame and worldly pleasure. We'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the mighty rock. Oh, build on the rock forever sure, the firm and the true foundation. Its hope is the hope which shall endure, the hope of our salvation. We'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the
need a savior in times like these.
Need a marker, be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus. The only one. Be sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need a Bible. In times like this, oh, be idle, be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid. Rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds.
Thank you so very much. That was beautiful, and praise the Lord. Our dear sister Rose wanted a quote from Stephen Haskell's book, the book on Daniel, the 1901 version, and she wanted me to read it to you, and so let me go ahead and do so. We are a part of that great center of light that is our God of love, and it is that power which the prophet vainly tried to express in human language that converts the soul. The Son was one with the Father, and it was from this glory that he stepped when he offered himself at the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain, and the heart of God was broken in that offering. Every time the knife was plunged into a victim at the altar of the earthly sanctuary, the flowing blood touched afresh the heart of the eternal Father. Every time a broken-hearted man or woman approaches the throne in penitence, the wound in our Father's heart bursts open and bleeds again. The broken and the contrite heart thou wilt not despise, O God. Never, never through all eternity will that son resume his former condition. What he assumed for fallen man he will retain forever. Marvelous love. He is a man still in the heavenly court, touched by every human woe. The universe beheld the gift and bowed in adoration. The temple is filled with the glory. Their seraphim and cherubim, with their shining glory as guardians, stretch their wings above his throne, veil their faces in adoration, and bow before him. Amen. And thank you, dear sister. That's from the book SDP, page 98. That stands for the story of Daniel the prophet. So thank you so much for that.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs we'll bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus, know on every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To your friend despise, forsake you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solid there. Blessed Savior, those I promised, though will all our bearings bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Righteous praise and endless worship will be ours before she's there.
Amen.
Hi all, happy Sabbath. This is Brother Sean. I have two songs for you today. One is called Whiter Than Snow, and the other one is, it's called In the Garden. First one is Whiter Than Snow. I have it on the iPad. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou knowest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new art creation. To those who have Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow.
Okay. And the other one is in the garden.
I mean, I sing it with you.
Do you know it?
I gotta let you go okay. first. I did the other song. I gotta let you go first, too.
Okay. I have Brother Courtney going to be joining me here. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Then he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Then he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of war. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, happy Sabbath today.
Amen. And thank you, dear brothers, for singing those lovely hymns. Well, dear ones, are there any other hymns that you'd like to sing in praises to God and our spiritual edification? Anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free. It's definitely a high Sabbath fellowship today. So please go right ahead. Well, the hymn, I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, the Lord plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to live above the world. Though Satan's dire army are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The last one is number 4, right?
I want to scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord God.
Amen. Beautiful. And it would be good that every one of us here sing this hymn. Praise God for indeed showing us the way and walking hand in hand with us upward on that straight, narrow path. Praise the Lord indeed. So thank you, dear ones. That was beautiful. Are there any other songs? Anything else that you'd like to share? Perhaps requests for songs? Please feel free.
The one that says, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. I don't know the title again. What's the name of it?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed,
He prepared for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout for victory. While we walk the pilgrim's pathway, cloud will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will, oh, that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Onwards to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall thread the street of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, oh, that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory.
Amen, and praise God indeed. Well, another hymn comes to mind, We Speak of the Realms.
We speak of the realms of the blessed, the country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed, but what must it mean to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its wall decks with jewels are so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it mean to be there?
We speak of its freedom of sin from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love, of the robes which glorified wear, of the church of the firstborn above, but what must it be to be there?
Our mourning is all at an end when raised by the life-giving word. We see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air. No gloom of affliction or sin, no shadow of evil is there.
Knew thou midst temptation and woe, for heaven myself prepare. And shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright fields we shall roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there. And what a day that will be, dear ones. And I want you all there, not a single one left out.
Okay, I have one other song that I'd like to sing. I know it two ways. Could you please put the song in? It's on the chat room. Oh, Lord, prepare me. Okay, thank you. I'm trying to find how to sing it in Spanish, but I know it in English, so I will try it in Spanish as well if if I remember. So please bear with me. I'm going to try. I'll sing it in English first, and then I'll try it in Spanish. If I stop during the Spanish, that's because I do not understand it very well. So please bear with me. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, Jesucristo, gente barame, para seme, tu santuario, copureza, y santidad afrita compelled.
No, you're doing great. That's how I sound when I want to speak English. It's okay. You're my own family. Oh, Dios, prepárame para hacerme un santuario puro y santo, justo y fiel, con mis gracias yo seré un santuario para ti, oh Jesucristo, ven prepárame para hacerme tu santuario con pureza y santidad afligida por verdad con tus gracias. Yo seré un santuario.
Amen. That was beautiful. And you got farther along in it, dear son, than I would have. So praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, this has been a wonderful, a high Sabbath day. And thank you so much for your fellowship, your participation, for being my brothers and sisters in the faith, and for accepting Christ as your Savior, your substitute, Redeemer, and sacrifice. And in clinging to Him forevermore, you will indeed gain eternal life. So dear ones, may God bless. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And before we go, I would like to leave you with another scripture song. And as I mentioned last night, I'll be taking a new scripture song that I know from Genesis all the way through Revelation at the end of each meeting. So I sang Genesis 1:1 last night, and I'll sing the next one I know, which is Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God's created and made. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. So may God indeed bless you on the remaining part of his Sabbath day. And keep looking up, dear ones, until we're able to meet again soon.